everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of February 25th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and all decked out for the Oscars, Melissa Henson, wearing a vintage Yves Saint Laurent gown and Harry Winston jewelry, and I'm lying through my teeth.
Picture me like that. What do we picture of me like that throughout the whole podcast?
There you go. Although I do have to say, last year, you were in Los Angeles, and we went for a walk on the beach in the morning, and we had brunch, and then we settled in because L.A. covers the Oscars 24 hours a day. This year, I'm sitting in nearly a foot of snow. I was out snow blowing. The power was out. It was just the complete opposite of what I'm used to.
Yeah, but you're right. We're recording this right before the Oscars.
Yes.
As they're now known. It's no longer the Academy Awards.
Yes, isn't that weird?
Oscars.
Isn't that weird?
Whatever. Anyhow, recording it before. So next week we'll go over the winners and stuff. But yeah, in LA, because it's so early too, because it's live. Yeah. So it's East Coast prime time. It's LA, but they start like 6 a.m. They start the coverage of the thing. And like, you know, 12 hours of red carpet. It's insane out there. And they shut down the whole area around there for like over a week. And it's just crazy out there in days like today with the big awards.
Nina and Will are living in that neighborhood this year, aren't they? I mean, they weren't living there last year.
My friends Nina and Will are really close, and they've been talking about how their neighborhood is shut down.
And last year, we actually recorded this show after. We had live-tweeted the whole show, and then we did a recap after. But now you're getting the pre-Oscar special, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Oscars.
Well, it does a little bit, because my entertainment this week, I finally saw Argo on the big screen.
Nice.
Which I know I'm like so behind, but anyhow, and so one of the big controversies this year for the Oscars is that Ben Affleck is not nominated as director.
Correct.
So Argo, he, you know, directed, he starred in, he produced too. So it's up for Best Picture. So it may win for that. It looks like it's going to win for that, but he was not nominated for director. And I think that is a total crock.
Yeah.
He absolutely should have been. It was one of the best directed movies of the year. Now, I haven't seen every other movie and every other director for sure, but I can't imagine anything beating this. It was amazingly directed. And props to the camera guys and to cinematographer and editor and everybody else who makes the director look good. Mm-hmm. But man, Benji knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He really does. And again, this was a tough one. Like I said, he starred in it too, which his acting was fine. He was fine for the role. Probably not the best casting, honestly, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But his direction, some of the shots and the decisions to like where to focus, like there's focus far away and then close up and then far away again, and movement shots, and it was beautifully directed.
I love the cutbacks between Tehran and Los Angeles, between Ellen Arkin and John Goodman, and then with Ben Winston.
The cast was great. It's a really, really great movie. Yeah. It's not some big, I mean, it's based in history, but it's not some big historical epic thing. It's a thriller. It's a tight little thriller. It just happens to be a pretty much true story.
And it's a footnote to that entire Iran hostage crisis.
Yes. Yeah. And a story that could not be told until today.
What did you think of the ending? Not to spoil it for anybody, I'm just curious what your take was, because that was the second ending that they shot that was not the original.
Is it? I'm trying to remember exactly, like, how much of the ending.
Where he was in his son's bedroom. And
I thought it was kind of cool.
I did, too.
And bringing it back, the whole movie, and, it, you know, it was the time of Star Wars, and things like that. And Argo, the fake picture, is going to be that kind of movie.
Yeah.
And so having it there sitting with the rest of that, with what was there? Like Battlestar Galactica was there?
Yep.
Star Wars and Star Trek and the whole thing that the Argo, if it were to get made, would fit in with. I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And of course, my scene was cut out and it wasn't included in the deleted scenes. Yeah. Oh, well, c'est la vie.
Yep. So anyhow, that's been my week in entertainment is being all pissed off at the dickhead. Not Benji.
Oh boy! Well, I was planning to watch Wreck-It Ralph, which is Disney's latest. My nephew has seen it 3 times already, and they watched it last night. But I was going to watch it today, and the power went out. So,
whoops!
I was snowblowing the driveway instead.
So that was your entertainment this week.
That was my entertainment. Yep.
That's just always so much fun.
I'm really confused by the box office this week because there's a movie that's been out, Identity Thief. This is its 3rd week now.
Oh, yeah, at least. It's been out a while, and it came in first. But again, it came in first, $14
million. Yeah, by a very small margin.
Nothing, too. Snitch came in second.
Yep.
With 13.
The Rock.
Yeah, people did not go to the movies this week. Oh. Escape from Planet Earth, $11
million. Yep.
Safe Haven, $10.5 million. A Good Day to Die Hard, $10 million.
Yeah, that's kind of what confuses me.
Yeah, there's people were not going. And yeah. $10 million, number 5, and just up to 14. I mean, they're all really close there.
And I guess, I think what threw me the most is Dark Skies was this horror thriller, which we've seen in the past that horror has always jumped to the top of the box office.
Right.
And it barely made anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even $9 million. It's in the top 10, but that's it.
Go figure. Well, another group of really strange movies coming out this week. We've got the big budget CGI Jack the Giant Slayer with Nicholas Holt and Ewan McGregor. So there'll be 2 Nicholas Holt movies in the theater at the same time. Warm Bodies, which is still doing fairly well. This is Bryan Singer's CG fantasy epic.
Where it's like
Jack and the Beanstalk, but he doesn't take on just one giant. He takes on a whole army of giants.
They just did that on Once Upon a Time thing.
Did they really?
Yeah, they've been doing Jack and the Giant things. But Jorge Garcia plays the giant.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's really cool. But we have this whole thing with like his family and
okay,
all of the giants. But they're good guys, of course, in the show.
Of course.
They get attacked. But yeah, it was like his whole family is up the beanstalk.
Interesting.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Okay.
As if the world was clamoring for it, The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Okay.
Because, you know,
well, if it was the last one, how do we have part 2?
Because exorcisms just don't take like they used to.
I guess not.
You know, that's why the Pope is retiring, right? They can't keep up with stuff anymore. Their powers are diminishing. 21 and over, yet another teen night out gone horribly wrong movie. It's the directorial debut of screenwriter John Lucas, who's best known for all the terrible Hangover movies. Now, I'm sorry to offend people who like the Hangover movies, but let's face it, it's not like they're going to wind up on the Oscars, right? We've got The Sweeney, which is the big screen adaptation of the British 1970s crime drama starring Ray Winston and Damian Lewis. And then there's a movie. I read the description of this and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It's a movie called Phantom, which sounds exactly like Hunt for Red October, except it stars Ed Harris, David Duchovny, Sean Patrick Flannery, and Lance Henriksen.
Okay, then.
So if you are a fan of Hunt for Red October and want to see it again with a different cast, go right ahead.
Just compare them,
yeah,
you know, just
not
for the hell of it.
Why
whatever.
At least you won't get a Sean Connery, you know, playing a Russian submarine captain with his thick accent, Scottish accent. Let's see. We've over DVD and Blu-ray this week. We've got Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. We have The Master with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes, which I will cut in right now instead of saving it for later. That is our contest this week.
Uh-huh.
So if you would like to win a copy of that, you can head over to dvdverdict.com/contest.
Nice.
And maybe you'll be lucky and we'll send it right to you.
Sweet. Chasing Mavericks, which is Gerard Butler's surfing movie. Jennifer Love Hewitt's new television series, The Client List. I know.
Yeah, this was a Lifetime movie that they turned into a series about a hooker. Seriously, people.
So she went from talking to dead people to hooking.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's, you know, the way most of us go.
For vintage Scooby-Doo fans, they've been kind of mining the history of Scooby-Doo with the new series. Well, they've got a made-for-DVD movie called Mask of the Blue Falcon, which, if you remember, Blue Falcon and Dynamite was a single-season Hanna-Barbera show.
But, I remember Dynamite.
Yeah, but it was a good... I liked it. So that's out this week. And then for you Barbie fans, like Eric Osperschlager, they've reworked the classic Red Shoes. Not the David Duchovny Red Shoe Diaries.
Okay, are you just all right there? Throw me for a second.
Barbie and the Red Shoe Diaries. That would be interesting. But it's called
like the dancing Red Shoes, yes, not the sex Red Shoes. Okay.
The very classic ballet story, The Red Shoes, yep. Okay. Is being done by Universal and Barbie as the Pink Shoes.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. It's all lizards over at Netflix this week.
Is it now?
It is.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Matthew Broderick in Roland Emmerich's Godzilla.
Okay.
Terrible, terrible movie. Jennifer Lopez in Anaconda, which was also a terrible, terrible movie. And Sam Jackson in Black Snake Moan, which has nothing to do with snake. Well, I guess it could if you're referring to using a metaphor. Moving on. Over at Hulu. Tell me if you remember this, but I don't know. John Malkovich, Karen Allen, and Joanne Woodward in The Glass Menagerie.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
So that's... I didn't look at the date on this, but I'm guessing it was probably the 90s.
I don't know. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I missed that version.
We've got another Obama documentary. This one called Great Expectations, which looks back at his first 4 years in office. And then the other movie that is curious to me, it's called Skatistan. It's a look at the harmonizing power of skateboarding in Afghanistan. War to
cool.
Afghanistan.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds neat.
Something you wouldn't quite. But those three are all over at Hulu this week.
Okay.
That's what I've got.
All right. Well, on TV this week, comedy fans will be happy. Monday, E! Is premiering Burning Love.
What's that?
Which, it was a web series starring Ken Marino.
Oh.
And a whole bunch of huge actors guest starring on it. It's a send-up of The Bachelor.
Oh.
But E!'s airing it now. I mean, it's already been online, but you can watch it on your big TV.
Oh, okay.
This Tuesday, CBS premieres Golden Boy, which is it's a cop drama about the youngest like commissioner, New York City police commissioner. I actually watched it. They had the preview up. It's okay. It's not great. It goes back and forth between the future where he's the commissioner and like the present where he's just a detective working cases.
Okay, so don't get confused with Tom Selleck in Blue Bloods then, because isn't he the police commissioner in New York?
Yes.
Okay.
No, so do not get the 20-something-year-old confused with Tom Selleck. All right, then. So, Wednesday, you crap TV lovers will be happy because Annie has the third season of Duck Dynasty.
I saw that. These are those guys with the really long, they look like ZZ Top, right?
All these Annie shows,
yeah.
I don't get it.
The DVD release for this just has three guys, they look like ZZ Top, mm-hmm. with these really scraggly beards.
Yeah, it's one of their reality shows. Yeah. They have like 100 of them now.
It's, yeah.
It's like, it's yeah, the old guy version of Honey Boo Boo. Whatever.
Lovely.
Anyhow, Friday, IFC Portlandia had the season finale. This week, so make sure you catch that. Next Sunday, All-Star Celebrity Apprentice starts on NBC. And on History, it's The Bible.
You know, I saw a trailer for this in the theater. It looks really impressive. I mean, of course, it's a reenactment type thing, but it looks
right.
epic.
So it's reenacting the Bible stories. It's getting really, really crappy reviews.
Oh, boy, here we go.
So we'll see. So if somebody watches it, let me know if it's any good.
Okay.
Because it could be like really interesting or it could be just horrible.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that is Sunday.
All right.
Music, quite eclectic this week. We have some country with Old Yellow Moon by Emmylou Harris and Rodney Crowell. And then In Time by the Mavericks. And then we go back to like 80s hair all of a sudden. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Tribute Hitsville by Michael Bolton.
Oh, my God.
It's a bunch of classic kind of R&B and stuff. But then we also have 30 Years Live from Sunset Strip by Great White.
Oh, my God.
It's a live concert that they recorded this past spring.
Wow.
Yeah. And Bret Michaels has a new album, too. Oh, good songs and great friends. And he has a whole bunch of people guesting on the album.
Now, he had a reality show recently, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a dating one and whatever. I think it was before his brain exploded.
Okay.
So, anyhow, luckily he's doing well. Yeah. But new album out from him.
All right.
And we don't have to say it this week.
Oh, thank
you. It's one of our very few weeks off.
Patterson-free.
But this week we do have The 5 Levels of Attachment, Toltec Wisdom for the Modern World, by Don Miguel Ruiz Jr.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so those of you, there's lots of fans. I'm one of them, of his father. And his books, but now his son is writing similar things.
Interesting.
Yep. C.S. Lewis, A Life, Eccentric Genius, Reluctant Prophet, by Alistair McGrath. So, and C.S. Lewis had a very interesting life. He went from atheist to very serious Christian, and, you know, put that in his stories.
Yeah.
So very interesting. But biography of him out. And then Put It in the Book, A Half Century of Mets Mania by Howie Rose. I guess he's famous announcer. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, us Chicago Cubs people the Mets do not exist in our world. So
okay, I'm going to blame it on that.
Twee on them.
But kind of cool. Marv Albert does the foreword on that.
Okay.
So, and then for all you fitness fans or annoying blonde fans, Side Effect Skinny, Denise Dawson's Fat Blast Diet.
She never goes away, and she just keeps smiling.
Does not go away, ever, ever, ever. Jeez. So, theater news this week, there is some casting news, or uncasting news.
Yes.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
Thank God for the beef. Dropped out of his Broadway debut like a month before, and he cited creative differences. It was a revival of Orphans.
Yeah.
We'll see what they end up doing there.
He was playing opposite Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, the two of them, I can't see them actually getting along. They're both kind of full of themselves.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so that's the uncasting news. But in casting news, Jane Lynch is going to head to Broadway and make her debut in Annie.
Oh, playing Miss Hannigan?
Playing Miss Hannigan.
Oh.
How sweet is that?
Well, if anybody could rival Carol Burnett, it's her. So.
Yeah, so that will be end of spring into summer. So after Glee's done shooting, she will head out that way. And she is going to take over for a couple months from Katie Finnernan.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for her.
She's filming something and whatever. So anyhow, Jane's going to step in for a while and be there at the beginning of summer.
All right. Have you been watching Glee this year?
I have been watching Glee this year. It's one of the worst things on television. It's seriously disgusting and painful.
So you're like Dave Johnson watching The Office then. You guys just
can't
quit.
Not. And I do like music and, you know, I like parts of it, but it's just ridiculous. This whole filming in two places, and it's ridiculous, like how they're forcing the characters so they can keep the old cast on. And then they have all this new cast, and I'm just confused, and I don't know who's who and what's what and whatever. I just care, like, not even remotely. I just watch it just in case it's an episode Dot Marie is going to be on. That's it. That's all I care about. Yeah, and they did ridiculous things. They had Jane's character, like, have a baby, and then, like, it's almost nothing to do with it. Like, Finn made a wisecrack and got in trouble, and, like, now they have nothing to do with the baby, and Sue's barely on it, and whatever. Ugh, why am I even talking about it?
Well, you mentioned Dot Marie, and just a quick digression here.
Oh, I think you should do a quick digression.
A quick. That's like a tweet and a quick. A quick tweet, a quick. One of my neighbors back in Marina Del Rey is an actress and a filmmaker, and she's got an indie film coming out, and Dot Marie stars in it.
Oh, cool.
So we'll have to see if we can get a copy of that when it hits DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. In news, IFP's Independent Spirit Awards were held at the beach in Santa Monica last night, Saturday night, and David O. Russell's Silver Linings Playbook took home Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actress for Jennifer Lawrence.
Shocking.
Yeah, so we'll see. Sometimes, you know, they line up with the Oscars. Other times they don't.
But yeah.
We'll see how that goes. On the other side of town, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 swept the Razzies.
Oh, imagine that.
With 7 wins out of their 11 nominations for Worst Picture, Worst Director, Bill Condon, Worst Actress, Kristen Stewart, and Worst Supporting Actor, Taylor Lautner, among others. Adam Sandler took home Worst Actor for That's My Boy. And Worst Supporting Actress went to Rihanna for Battleship.
Wow. That's nice that she was recognized.
And I bet she got another award as playing Chris Brown's girlfriend. As if Bruce Willis needed another film franchise, Fox has tapped him to take over as the lead in the late Charles Bronson's reboot, the reboot of the late Charles Bronson series, Death Wish. So they did, like, I think there were four or five of those movies in the 70s and the early 80s. Joe Carnahan, who did The Gray and The A-Team, was supposed to direct, but when the studio pushed Willis down his throat, he said, "Forget it, I quit." So that may tell you something right there. Paranorman and Let Me In's Cody Smith McPhee joins the cast of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And the only reason I'm saying this is because we've gotten at least a little bit of a hint of what the movie's about. It's going to take place 15 years after Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And focus on a ragtag group of scientists on the run and trying to survive in what's left of San Francisco. And thank God there's no James Franco in this movie. That's probably the best news of that entire blurb right there.
Okay.
Ratings for the NBC Dan Harmonless community have reached an all-time low.
And so has the humor.
Proving once again that writers are important in film and television.
No way. You mean, like, people who create a show know better than TV execs?
I guess.
Nothing to do with it?
It's so hard to believe sometimes.
Shocking.
I know, it is shocking. Extremely shocking. James Marsden, who I cannot stand, absolutely drives me crazy, will play Ron Burgundy's new arch nemesis in Anchorman 2 as a dashing news anchor for a rival station.
I don't like him, but I like watching him. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm so torn on the guy. I keep thinking I don't like him, but then I watch stuff with him and I like him. And I have to convince myself I don't like him.
Makes me ill.
Like, well, because he just finished up on 30 Rock.
Oh, that's right. He was playing Liz's boyfriend.
Yeah, well, that. Husband and father of her adopted children.
Oh,
and
geez. See, I,
all kinds
I
of stuff
watch,
right at the end.
I didn't watch 30 Rock this season. I didn't watch any television this season. And finally, Michael Bay has gotten back into bed with Megan Fox.
Figuratively speaking.
Yes. Yeah, I think
don't get us sued starting rumors.
After saying he would never, ever, 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 ever work with her again, he's cast.
Because she called him like Hitler and
right?
Like working for him was working for Hitler.
He's cast her as the intrepid reporter April O'Neil in the latest live action adaptation of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I think it's kind of excellent.
And of course, all the fanboys and fangirls are in histrionics over this. Like, oh my God, it's going to be a terrible movie because Megan Fox is
in it. No, it's not. It's going to be a terrible movie because it's a terrible movie.
That's exactly right.
Duh. Megan Fox is not going to kill this thing. She is not going to make this any worse than it's already going to be.
Why? All right, that's all I've got. And I have a feeling I know what you're going to talk about. So go right ahead.
Oh, well, there's so many things. I have to pick one every week.
Oh, all right.
No, I was going to talk about Kim did a magazine article where she really made it sound like she may not be doing the show. She was talking about the evolution of her life things like that and things that excite you. And then you start doing it and realize it's completely different. But anyhow, she made it seem like she's leaving the show. So then she had to go and clarify that no. They are set through season 10. They're like filming 8 right now.
Holy crap. 10?
She is guaranteed. So do not worry, my lovelies. You will be able to watch Kim's tragic life unfold for a couple more seasons.
My sister is among the people who watch the show. And to all of you, I say in William Shatner speak, get a life.
That wasn't very good at all.
I'm sorry.
You totally need to work on your chat.
All right. Oh, man. I mean, seriously, these shows only exist because people continue to watch them. If nobody watched them, they wouldn't be on the air.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. I've always said that, like, with the tabloids. Like, we all get upset about the paparazzi.
Yeah.
When, you know, they're following somebody and there's an accident or there's that. Oh, it's so wrong. It's so wrong. But we pay them to do it.
I know.
All right. Anyhow, off the soapbox.
I apologize. Go on. Did you have something else you would like to share before we close out this episode?
Nope.
Okay. Well, and on that amazingly non-existent bombshell, we will say goodbye and await the magic of the Oscars, which I'm sure is going to hold wondrous secrets and captivating. Who am I kidding? This is going to be the boringest fucking show again. They keep telling every
year. The only secret I will have is whether or not I actually fall asleep during it.
Every year they keep saying that, you know, they're going to update it and they're gonna make it more modern and more accessible and more interesting, and it's not going to happen. It's just not.
No.
But we will talk about that next week. Until then,
All right, fine.
What were you going to say?
No, I said, do we have to?
Oh, sorry, I only caught part of that. Yes, we have to, because we'll be live tweeting the Oscars tonight.
All right.
Anyways, as always, feel free to tune in to DVD Verdict for all the latest entertainment reviews, DVDs, Blu-rays, and upcoming releases, if I get around to updating that stupid calendar, which is the bane of my existence. In any case, until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Goodbye. I never want to see you again. Goodbye.